Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds, I love that show!
Good morning. Welcome to our show number 550. Coming to you live this morning from South Texas, way South Texas, just west of McAllen in the lower Rio Grande Valley, just 4 miles north of the Rio Grande River. I might get corrected on that, but that's the information I have at the moment. We are perched on the porch of the Estero Llano Grande State Park, a place that claims a total list of 326 bird species. And that's right smack in the middle of something called the World Birding Center Network. More about that in a moment. Right in front of us is a beautiful wetland area and shallow lake where American coots and black-bellied whistling ducks, pied-billed grebes, lesser scaups, and other waterfowl and wading birds are showing themselves to us this morning. And I just heard a report of a bronzed cowbird, but that's only a rumor. I wasn't able to go over there and look at it. But who better to tell us more about Estero Llano Grande and how it fits into the World Birding Center Network than Ranger John Yoakum, who is right here with us this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Great to have you here. And I know you're supposed to be leading a bird walk right now, so we apologize for kind of stalling you here.
Oh, no, that's quite all right. It's pretty my pleasure.
Well, if we had come here 10 years ago, John, we would have seen a very different place than we're seeing now. Give us a little history of Estero Llano, if you would.
Right. You would have seen cotton fields and sorghum fields exactly right where we're sitting. No buildings of any kind. And only one lake shaped like an alligator and full of alligators even 30 years ago. But other than that, cotton fields and sorghum fields.
So how did it all come? How did it become Estero Llano State Park instead of cotton fields and sorghum fields?
Many people in the World Birding Center had a wonderful vision of 9 World Birding Centers here in the Valley, which have come to fruition. And we're just one of those nine birding centers that have come about because of these people's wonderful vision of a place to be.
John, can you name the nine World Birding Centers without cheating? Over, I have a list here.
Well, cheating is so easy, and remembering is so hard at my age that I actually used to work at the Benson Rio Grande Valley State Park, which makes it easy for that particular one. But Edinburgh Scenic Wetlands in Edinburgh is a nice one. Also, Estero Llano Grande here in Wessico. Harlingen's in Royal Colorado. The Hugh Ramsey Park is absolutely great. I'm from Harlingen's. I'm a little prejudiced on that one. The Old Hidalgo Pump House at Hidalgo. Quinta Maz at La Pallan. Resaca de la Palma in Brownsville. And Roma Bluffs way west. And South Padre Island in beautiful South Padre Island, of course.
Well, we've had a chance to visit some of these wonderful places in the last couple of days since we've been here. And also the Santa Ana National Wildlife Refuge, another special place nearby.
Absolutely. Besides those 9 World Birding Centers, there are amazing city parks and national refuges that are just absolutely fantastic. There's a plethora of places to bird and visit here.
So back in 2010, you had a problem here. A big flood. We've been seeing some of the markings on the trees where the water level was. So how's the recovery from that going?
We were very fortunate, actually, here at Estero Llano Grande State Park. We're 5 miles north of the Rio Grande. Benson and Santa Ana had to close for an entire year. You could stay open through the entire event thanks to a wonderful drainage ditch that goes right through our pond. You'll never recognize the drainage ditch. Of course, it's full of birds and alligators and things. But it was a wonderful drainage ditch that saved us. They didn't have to close or anything. Whatever came through.
And what about the other places, though, in terms of that flooding? How have they been affected? How are they recovering?
Oh, Benson was scoured, absolutely scoured. They had a nice herd of javelinas that are completely disappeared. Everything head high was just gone, everything below head high. But now you go to Benson and you would never know that happened.
And how about the javelinas? These are wild pigs. Have they come back?
They have come back. They're not as tame as the ones that were there previously because the ones that were there previously have heard about 50. People used to feed them marshmallows and they'd pull in your pant leg and beg for food. These are not tame at all as compared to those. And of course, that's not encouraged. So these pigs will probably remain, these javelinas will probably remain wild.
Right. So we should not try to feed them marshmallows.
No, it's not really good for them and not good for us either.
Well, let's go back to birds and tell us about some of the signature species of the park here. I'm thinking great Kiskadee, green jays, and absolutely. Where do we go?
Absolutely. There are about 30 species. Birds every birder should see while they're in South Texas because you can't get them anywhere else in the ABA area. American Birding Association is mostly people from Canada and the United States that are a part of that, but you have to see the birds north of the Rio Grande in order to count on your list. So every birder, even if they started yesterday, may not realize it, but every birder in the ABA area has to come to South Texas sooner or later to see those 30 specialty birds.
Yeah, and so many people come here for birding. It's amazing. I mean, I don't know anybody that's a serious birder, I think, that hasn't come here at least once or twice or more.
Oh, absolutely. In Ohio, where I'm from, this is like heaven, you know, and not everyone sure it really exists, but we all would love to go there. So when people finally found out it was here, it was like, you're kidding, it really does exist? And it is like heaven, of course, being out here in South Texas with all the beautiful birds.
What are some of the other bird species that excite you? And how about butterflies?
Oh, yes. Well, we have those 500 roughly birds that are available in South Texas. Our park's only 9 years old, so we've only seen 326 of them here, actually. But we have seen all the specialties here. Chachalacas, buff-bellied hummingbirds, Kiskadees, Couch's kingbirds, tropical kingbirds, northern beardless triangulates. The list goes on for 30 birds that you can see here. And, of course, butterflies, there's 300 kinds of butterflies here. Half of those can be only seen in South Texas.
Wow.
Right, it's amazing.
A lot of species and a lot in individual numbers as well, just from what I've seen since we've been here.
Oh, absolutely. Our last butterfly walk was in the rain, and we still saw an amazing number of butterflies, 17 of just one species. Then we had almost 30 species on the bird walk. On the butterfly walk altogether. So it's just a heaven for nature lovers down here.
Wow, that's John Yoakum, ranger and delayed birding guide, birding trip leader here this morning. We're at Estero Llano State Park in West Laco, Texas, just east of McAllen, here in the lower Rio Grande Valley. And we'll find out more about this amazing and very birdy area in just a bit. But right now, we're going to cool off a little bit with the following visit to Alberta, Canada. Okay, I guess we're not going to go to Canada right now. I mean, why would we? It's November, so we might as well. We might as well. So we're in Texas. Why should we go to Canada? Really, we've kind of rethought this, and what we had in mind was our Charlotte's Web blog feature, and I hope we can get to it at some point because she has some really interesting stuff for young birders, also about digiscoping and. If I could remember the other topic, it would be cool, but we'll try to get to that anyway. Meanwhile, still to come here on our show today, here at Estero Llano Grande State Park in South Texas, our man Mike O'Connor, who's about as far east as you can get and still be here in the USA, will be with us from Cape Cod to answer the listener question, will my roosters become nesters? In addition, we'll present a South Texas-inspired mystery bird contest. We'll meet a lady who knows a little something about the Texas city of McAllen and why it attracts so many birders and butterflyers. And up next, a bird that has been spotted around here in the Rio Grande Valley more than a few times is today's Talking Birds featured feathered friend.
So, you are cuckoo.
No, I'm not cuckoo. I'm a cuckoo.
You're not cuckoo?
No, I'm not cuckoo.
You're a non-cuckoo cuckoo.
What?
You're a cuckoo, but you're not cuckoo. So you're a non-cuckoo cuckoo.
I think you're making me cuckoo.
So I'm making you a non-cuckoo cuckoo cuckoo.
Look, I'm not just a cuckoo. I'm a black-billed cuckoo.
Oh, now we're making progress. You're not only a cuckoo.
Correct.
You're a non-cuckoo black-billed cuckoo, but I'm making you a non-cuckoo black-billed cuckoo cuckoo.
Doctor?
Yes?
I think you're cuckoo.
Yes, but I'm not a cuckoo. I'm a cuckoo non-cuckoo. And I'm not a black-billed cuckoo, but I'm a cuckoo non-black-billed cookie cuckoo. I'm a cookie and cuckoo non-cuckoo.
Well, our featured feathered friend today is not kooky, just a little spooky, maybe. The black-billed cuckoo is a secretive bird who's heard more often than seen. In breeding season, spent in much of the U.S. and Canada, it often calls through the night when it's not munching on caterpillars or other large insects, and some fruits and seeds. Some people say that black-billed cuckoos and their cousins, the yellow-billed, call more often just before it starts raining, earning them the nickname rain crows. They're also known as occasional brood parasites, though not on the scale of brown-headed cowbirds, sometimes laying eggs
in the nests of other bird species. The black-billed cuckoo is a slender, long-tailed bird, longer and thinner than, say, a robin, colored in soft browns and grays, with whitish underparts, a red eye ring, and, of course, a black bill. Here's the sound of the black-billed cuckoo, without the clock. The black-billed cuckoo, our featured feathered friend, here on Talkin' Birds.
Here's an idea for the next time you're shopping for wild bird food. Look for the Audubon Park brand, a top choice among bird lovers for more than 40 years. That's because Audubon Park wild bird seed is the finest kind, with more than a dozen selections to choose from, including the popular fruit and nut, songbird and cardinal, and no-waste patio blends. Human development and climate change are having increasing impacts on wild birds. Feeding the hummers, chickadees, goldfinches, cardinals, and all the beautiful and fascinating birds in your backyard really helps them survive and thrive. All of Audubon Park's products meet the highest quality standards in the industry and have earned early compliance with the FDA's Food Safety Modernization Act. And Audubon Park products are easy to find at your supermarket, lawn and garden store, farm and feed market, and online retailers. For more information, visit AudubonPark.com. That's AudubonPark.com. Audubon Park wild bird food is made right here in the USA. Get some for your backyard birds today. Audubon Park wild bird food.
Right in Boston's backyard lies a magnificent resource where you can walk a Civil War era fort, explore tide pools, and camp under the stars. Once known as the city's hidden gem, the Boston Harbor Islands National Park area has become the go-to urban escape for tourists and residents alike. It's a marvelous destination for birders, offering a huge variety of migrating and nesting species that can be viewed independently or during free ranger-guided bird walks on Saturday mornings. The islands are home to other wildlife, too, including deer, fox, coyote, rabbits, raccoons, muskrats, squirrels, and harbor seals. There are countless activities for non-birders as well, like hiking on miles of trails, sunny beaches, ocean fishing, concerts, deer tastings, and programs for the whole family. 34 islands, 3,000 acres, endless fun and exploration, all minutes from Boston. Find out more at bostonharborislands.org.
Well, thanks for being with us, and thanks for bearing with us. We're having a few technical difficulties here, but we're back at Estero Llano, and we were starting to introduce Nancy Millar from the McAllen Convention and Visitors Bureau, and starting to say, Nancy, that maybe the best endorsement for the area is for nature watchers is that a couple of friends from Boston, Steve and Barbara, are staying here for 5 weeks and figuring they are not going to run out of things to see in that time.
Yeah, it's very common. We have lots of snowbirds who come down here, only we don't call them that. We affectionately call them winter Texans.
I love that, winter Texans.
Yeah, and they do. A lot of them come down because of the birds here. And certainly if they're into the birding, there is no shortage of places to go. There are just dozens and dozens of places. There are city parks, county parks, federal land, even some backyards that are very, very famous for having attracted specialty birds. So all kinds of places.
And we talked with John a little bit about butterflies, and they are just in profusion. And we've got butterfly experts like our friend Steve, who comes here really specifically for the butterflies.
Yeah, birders are our biggest group as far as the people who are interested in wildlife watching. But we do get loads of butterfly watchers because it's not only the... really is the best place in the United States and Canada for birding, but also for butterfly watching. But we also have people who come down here to look at the dragonflies and damselflies, and people who are plant enthusiasts who come down because we have plants that aren't found other places, and mammals. We're very biodiverse down here.
I can see. Well, the McAllen area is also a very booming place. A city population of about 140,000, I believe, some 800,000 in the metro area. But obviously, there's been some pretty good planning to make it the case that we do have all these natural areas and all this abundant wildlife and biodiversity.
Yeah, it is. We've been one of the fastest growing areas in the country for about 25 years in a row. So there's a lot going on down here. Lots of entrepreneurship, and it has taken a concerted effort from a lot of people who are interested in habitat preservation and being able to go outside and, you know, stretch your arms around a little bit. So there is a lot of preserved land down here, and we're real excited about the fact that there are so many local people who get it, who understand.
And Texas is a fairly large state, is it not?
Yeah, it's pretty good size, yeah.
Well, I drove across Texas once, and I just can still remember being at the eastern border and seeing the sign that said El Paso, 850 miles. We don't have that kind of stuff back east.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny. If you wanted to go from here to California and you drove to El Paso, you'd be more than halfway there already. You'd still be in Texas.
Well, speaking of planning, I imagine that's already underway for the next Rio Grande Valley Birding Festival. That was just a week or so ago.
Yeah. It's always early November, and it draws loads of people. It had about 1,500 people this year from all over the world, most in the United States, of course, in Canada. But yeah, very, very popular. People go out and they see just hundreds. They can see over 100 species in one day, actually, if they want to.
By the way, we know there are lots of couples that consist of one birder and one non-birder or non-butterflyer. And you might want to point out, Nancy, that there are a few things for those non-birders to do around here, like shopping, for example.
Yeah, actually, we're a huge shopping destination. We're actually the biggest U.S. shopping destination for the entire country of Mexico. So we have loads of good shopping, all the regular stores, and then a lot of specialty boutiques also. So that is a big thing. Arts is also big. We have lots of art galleries and studios, and also a lot of performing arts. If you like if you like live music, boy, this is the place to be.
That's Nancy Millar, Vice President and Director of the McAllen Convention Center and Visitors Bureau, hosting our tour of the Texas Tropics and the World Birding Center Network joint partnership of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, the Rio Grande Valley Communities, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Nancy, thank you. We're looking forward to going out birding with you in a little bit.
Wonderful. Me too. I'm looking forward to it too.
All right, so let's see. We're a little bit mixed up on our kind of schedule here this morning, but we're going to move ahead, I believe. I think we can, to our mystery bird contest, a regular feature of the Talkin' Bird Show, in which we describe a bird. We play the sound of the bird and invite you to call in as soon as possible and give us your guess. Tell us what it is if you know it definitively, or take a guess, because no correct answer means a drawing will determine our winner. So I'm just getting a message here from our studio back east that our Charlotte's Web segment is ready to go. So let's go to that right now.
Alberta bound, Alberta bound. It's good to be Alberta bound.
Well, let's get the latest on clubs for young birders, wireless digiscoping, and the battle on the booming ground with our Charlotte Wesselick and Charlotte's Web blog. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning, Ray. Young birder clubs are popping up all over the United States lately, with two of the most recent ones starting in Seattle and Wisconsin. These clubs are a great opportunity for young birders to connect with others, explore new birding areas, and learn about future career paths in birding. To find a list of all the young birder clubs in the United States and other countries, Google Young Birders Network. I went digiscoping north of our farm last Saturday and found over 100 tundra swans. Luckily, they hadn't moved south yet. I practiced digiscoping with my new smartphone adapter and Bluetooth shutter release. If you're curious about digiscoping or would like to see my photos, please visit my blog at prairiebirder.com. A new documentary film entitled Battle on the Booming Grounds just wrapped up its crowdfunding campaign, raising over $26,000. The one-hour film about the greater prairie chicken hopes to educate and inspire audiences about conservation issues surrounding the species and the need to preserve its disappearing native prairie habitat. Hopefully, the documentary will soon be coming to a PBS station near you. That's all for this week, Ray. I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Charlotte. Hey, don't forget to check out Charlotte's blog online at her new address, prairiebirder.com. That's prairiebirder.com.
On to our mystery bird contest. Talking Birds is made possible in part by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, a world leader in the study, appreciation, and conservation of birds. Please check them out at birds.cornell.edu. And you're eligible if you haven't been a winner here on Talking Birds in the past 6 months. And by the way, if you're not hearing us live, you can do that online anytime at talkingbirds.com. You'll see how to do it there. It's very easy. Now, here's our phone number. Again, we urge you to call as soon as possible with your guess or your definitive answer to the identity of our mystery bird. 781-837-4900 is the number. That's 781-837-4900. Our prize this morning is the beautiful Droll Yankees A6S Classic Bird Feeder. This is an updated version of the first tubular bird feeder in the world, invented by Droll Yankees founder Peter Killam back in 1969. It stays true to the iconic classic while adding the ring pull advantage for really easy cleaning. So that's a prize. 781-837-4900 is the number, and here's the sound of our mystery bird. Boy, I'll tell you, if you were down here, you would know instantly what this bird is. And by further hint, we did mention this bird earlier in the show. We have seen many, many individuals of this species. Our bird is an 8 to 9 inch long tyrant. There's a clue within a clue there. Its head is striped black and white with a difficult-to-see yellow crown. The upper parts are brown, and the wings and tail are brown with usually strong rust-colored fringes. Its chest and undersides are a bright yellow. Its throat is white, and it has a short, thick, black bill. Our bird, which breeds over much of the northern United States in winters, mostly in South America, also here in South Texas, hunts like a shrike or a flycatcher, waiting on an open perch high in a tree to sally out to catch insects in flight or to pounce on rodents and similar small vertebrates. It will also take fruit from vegetation by gleaning and jumping for it or ripping it off in mid-hover. So that's a pretty long set of clues. So what is it? Tell us or take your guess. As we say, no correct answer means a drawing will determine our winner of that beautiful Droll Yankees A6F Classic Bird Feeder. 781-837-4900 is the number to call. 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, we will check in with Mike O'Connor. The question, will my roosters become nesters? Let's ask Mike in just 1 minute.
It kind of freaks me out that some people actually go through their trash to pull out recyclables. That's not for me.
Maria Inez Phillips talks about not recycling.
I've got too many newspapers and magazines and catalogs in there with plastic containers and bottles and cans.
In your recycling bin?
No, in my trash.
Your trash can is full of recyclables?
No, it's full of trash.
You say trash, Maria. I say rubbish.
Whatever it is, I'm not going through it. I don't even know what they do with recyclables.
They make more of the things you use, Maria. More newspapers, more bottles and cans.
Out of a bunch of trash? I just don't get it.
Some things are very obvious, Maria. Recycling creates jobs and protects the environment. Is that important to you?
It is, which is why I put my trash where it belongs.
Learn the difference between trash and recycling and more on our website, yougottabekidding.org.
I put out way too much trash to think about recycling.
See why recycling is not rubbish. Visit yougottabekidding.org today.
Here comes this morning's question for Mike. Why don't you send a question in? Just send it to ray@talkingbirds.com. Mike will answer it. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Ray.
We have a question here from Samantha in Hanover, Mass.
Oh, that's a sweet town.
She says, Mike, I think you said recently that people who want to put out nest boxes can do so in the fall or winter because birds will use the box as a shelter in the cold weather. Huh? Does this mean that if I get some chickadees in a box this winter, there's a good chance they'll stay in the spring and use the box for nesting? Also, is there a way to attract a particular species of bird to a nest box?
Two questions. I don't know. Yeah, do we have two questions here?
We'll start with one and see how that goes. We'll probably forget the second one anyway by the time we get to it.
That's just a gamble. It's just a... The odds that the same chickadee that might roost in there right now is going to nest there is probably not going to happen. Chickadees are in kind of loose flocks now, and they're within a territory, their little flock, and they move about. And then in the spring, everything changes. Chickadees do migrate, some chickadees. It's a very confusing process, chickadee migration. It's not like shorebirds where they leave from the same place and they winter in the same place. The chickadees, some of the young ones move about, and they don't go any particular. One year they'll go someplace else, and then another place next year. It's really a tough pattern to follow, but there is a movement. But whether the chickadee that's in your box now, whether it's going to be a resident or moved from someplace else, we don't know. But the fact that they're using it, it means it's certainly appealing to them, so they could absolutely use that.
Be a good sign, anyway. That
it is
like
a good sign, right? Yeah, and it might be a bird that's a resident in that one area, then you might use it again. But it's, you know, it's just kind of a crapshoot whether they use it or not. You also asked whether they'll attract a particular type of bird. In a bird box, I don't know if you've referred to nesting or roosting. I'll assume you mean nesting. And it's the size of the hole. So the rule of thumb is inch and a half, because that's a bluebird-sized box. Most people want to get bluebirds.
Okay.
And small birds will certainly use that, whether it's a titmouse, a nuthatch, a chickadee, or even a house wren. They'll all use that size box. Even tree swallows will use that. It's when you make the hole smaller, then you eliminate certain birds. And in my yard, I don't have any bluebirds, but I got a ton of house sparrows, and I just assume not have those.
Yeah.
So I go with an inch and a quarter. Inch and eighth hole, and I get chickadees, and I'm fine with that.
Chickadees,
you know?
But the house sparrows can't fit in,
right?
Yeah.
And then if the house runs around, they could use it also.
Okay.
So I do kind of eliminate some birds, but that's just kind of what you have to do. But if you want a variety of birds, not real fussy about what comes in, then go to inch and a half, and I'll get your variety of birds.
Okay, both questions answered.
The price of
or
one.
Samantha, wow, such a deal. Thank you, Mike.
Talk to you next week, Ray.
See you then.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. Got a question for Mike? Well, send it to Ray. That's kind of a weird thing, but that's how we do it. Email it to ray@talkingbirds.com. Remember, no G in talking, ray@talkingbirds.com. And Mike will answer your question. And by the way, if you'd like a signed copy of Mike's newest book, Why Do Bluebirds Hate Me, send us your mailing address along with your question, and we'll send you a copy of Mike's fantastic book. Again, the address for that is ray@talkingbirds.com.
Hello, this is Julia Louis-Dreyfus asking you to join me in helping to protect our national parks. Our parks will celebrate their 100th anniversary in 2016, but these magnificent places, from Yosemite to Gettysburg, are suffering from numerous challenges such as air and water pollution, development threats outside their boundaries, and inadequate funding. And that's why the National Parks Conservation Association has identified proposed actions to help protect our natural and cultural heritage for future generations. Find out more at www.mpca.org.
We're back here at the Mystery Bird Contest, attempting to identify this mystery bird. Our mystery bird is an 8 to 9 inch long tyrant clue within a clue. Its head is striped black and white with a difficult to see yellow crown. The upper parts are brown and the wings and tail are brown with usually strong rust-colored fringes. Its chest and undersides are a bright yellow. Its throat is white and it has a short, thick, black bill. Our bird breeds over much of the northern United States and winters mostly in South America, but also here in South Texas, hunting like a shrike or flycatcher waiting in an open perch high in a tree to sally out and catch insects in flight or to pounce on rodents and similar small vertebrates. What is our mystery bird? 781-837-4900 is the number. And I think we have Laura in Charlotte, North Carolina. Let's see if I'm right about that. Good morning, Laura.
Hello. How are you, Dave?
Hey, how are you, Laura?
I'm doing great.
All right. Well, great to hear from you.
I'm so jealous that you're down there in South Texas and I'm not.
You're a little jealous? All right. Well, have you been down here before?
Yes, we have, and Esterilana was our favorite park.
Oh, nice to hear. Well, no wonder you're jealous. Well, it's still here, so you can come back sometime, I hope, Laura.
We are indeed.
All right. Oh, how about our mystery bird, Laura? What do you think it is?
It's a great Kiskadee.
Yeah, you're not just thinking, you are knowing. That is a great Kiskadee. Absolutely right.
Yes, you nice hear job. And see so many of them down there.
Oh, my gosh. It is amazing how many there are. There's our studio audience delayed checking in here. Everything's been a little delayed this morning here. Laura, thank you so much. Congratulations, and stay on the line. We'll get your address.
Thank you so
much,
Ray.
Yankees feeder. Thanks to all of our wonderful hosts here at Estero Llano and the World Birding Center. And Nancy, thank you so much. Nancy Millar.
My pleasure.
And we are so out of time. We'll see you next week.
Show. I like that. I love that.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. on the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information.
Reruns, talk birds, I love that show!